Imagine one day your shoulder or your hip suddenly just pops out of its socket for no apparent reason. You feel crippling pain all through your body, but no one is able to tell you what's wrong. It's a scenario several Quebecers have faced and many are still dealing with. And over the next 2 days, we're going to bring you their story.
I was standing in my room and my mom called me from the door and I turned sideways and the top half of me turned and the bottom half didn't. And so I spent like the next 2 days in bed because we couldn't figure out what was wrong. All I knew is that my hip made this really loud crunching sound and it really, really, really hurt. We went to the doctor and they didn't really have any really good ideas. And then it kept happening.
That's 24-year-old Catherine Soans. She's describing the first time she partially dislocated her hip and realized that something was drastically wrong with her body. From that moment, it would take 10 years of hospitalizations and doctor's visits before she'd finally be diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's considered a rare disease, but Catherine's story is not unique. Our township's reporter Allison Burnett has been speaking with several people across the province who suffer from EDS, and she's in our studio in Sherbrooke now live. Good morning.
Hi, Susan.
Can you tell us what it is first? What is Ehlers-Danlos syndrome?
Well, the simplest way to describe it is a series of connective tissue disorders, the stuff that holds our joints and everything else in place. There are different type of connective tissues throughout our entire bodies, so EDS can affect different people in different ways. Susan, one of the articles I recently read says having Ehlers-Danlos syndrome sometimes feels about the same as being composed of jello and wet spaghetti. Nothing stays where it's supposed to, and literally every single cell in the body is floppy. There are about 8 different types of EDS, but the most common is hypermobility EDS. And that's what we just heard Catherine, that's what she was describing. People with this type are super flexible, and their skin can be really stretchy. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is also a genetic disorder, which means that more often than not, if one person in the family has it, that means there'll be at least one or two other people in the family that'll have it. And when we heard Catherine Soans a minute ago describing the first time she subluxed or partially dislocated her hip, but Catherine's father and her younger sister Michelle also suffer from EDS. This is 19-year-old Michelle Soans describing how Ehlers-Danlos syndrome affects her.
So basically, because it's a connective tissue disorder, all the connective tissue in my body is very loose. It should be tight, but it's not. So I'm pretty flexible without having to stretch. And because of that, I can easily dislocate most of my joints. So it also causes a lot of pain. And it makes it difficult to do most kinds of physical activities, even just walking or riding a bike or swimming. Or I can't play any sports. I can't throw anything because that could dislocate my shoulder.
Are you in pain right now?
Yes, in my knees, almost always. My biggest problem really is I have chronic fatigue syndrome, which is kind of a side effect of Ehlers-Danlos. So I'm tired all the time. I never wake up rested. I never wake up with energy.
Michelle Soans has a less severe form of EDS than her sister Catherine, but both sisters have dislocated joints in their bodies countless times, doing just basic movements. And they both suffer from chronic fatigue. And many of the EDS sufferers I've spoken with have other symptoms as well, including tendonitis, migraines, reflux, and other gastrointestinal problems, to name just a few. And that's because the different parts of the body can be affected because the connective tissue is everywhere.
We've heard a little bit about how the disease affects both Catherine and Michelle Soans physically. To what extent has EDS impacted their lives?
It dictates just about everything they do. When I started working on this story, I drove to the West Island of Montreal to meet with Catherine, Michelle, and their father, Robert, who also suffers from EDS. When I got to their home, Robert answered the door wearing a neck brace. He led me into the house, and one of the first things I saw was a banister, where you might expect to see coats draped or other articles of clothing. But Susan, instead there were about 5 different walking canes hanging on the railing, and there were other medical devices as well. But things haven't always been this way for the Soans. Michelle, Catherine, and Robert all used to be extremely athletic people. Catherine tells me she's had to systematically give up all of her hobbies and activities.
I had to give up every sport. So I'd already given up dance, and I'd already given up soccer. I'd already given up track and field. It was horrible. I gave up
everything I liked, and the only thing that I had left that wasn't physical was writing. And even that was really difficult because I can't do it by hand anymore. I had to give up piano as well, and I played bass guitar, and I had to give that up because of my fingers and my shoulder. And I mean, you can play guitar sitting down, but if your shoulder comes out when you put it over the guitar, you can't really do anything. There are days when my legs aren't working, so I don't get out of bed. And so I'm dependent upon my family. There's no way I could live on my own. I couldn't support myself. I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't pay the bills. I couldn't clean the house. Like, I clean my room, and that's only when I'm feeling well enough. I set the table. That's my chore for dinner. And I feed the dog when I can bend over well enough to feed him.
Catherine wears braces on both of her legs, and she uses a cane to help her get around when she's home. And when she goes out, she has to use a wheelchair to get around. She takes some classes at Concordia University, but she says she can only manage two classes a week and never back to back. After one day at school, she says that she needs time to rest.
And just to remind people, she's 24 years old.
That's right, yeah.
How's the family been dealing with this?
Well, the girl's father, Robert, also had to give up doing sports. EDS is causing him to have a problem with his neck. Basically, it's deteriorating very quickly. That's why he has to wear a neck brace. Robert Soans has also recently developed many food allergies, which he believes are associated with the EDS. And it's all very hard for him, but he says it's difficult in other ways as well. For one thing, it's been really hard for his wife, who doesn't have EDS.
There were times when we would spend every day going to a medical appointment. So there were probably almost 3 years at one point where at least 3 or 4 days a week minimum, one of us, it was usually me, I was driving, was at a doctor's appointment or physio or getting medical tests done. And this is week after week after week, year after year. That's very, very hard. So we've seen way too many medical people in our lives, spent too much money doing this. It gets very expensive when I can't work anymore. I mean, I work a few hours a week, but it's not a lot. I'm doing that mostly because I need to help pay bills. So for Elizabeth, she's the main breadwinner in the house now, and she has to do most of the physical work around the house. A lot of pressure on her. It's hard on her.
Robert Sohn says the chronic pain he suffers as a result of EDS is unbearable, and he knows he hasn't always been an easy person to be around as a result. And Susan, Robert Sohn says this was going on for a long time before the three people in the family had a diagnosis, so there was also the frustration and just the uncertainty of not knowing what the heck was going on.
Despite all of those medical appointments that Robert just described, when they're going to see doctors, what are they being told?
I've been speaking with 6 people who are all living with EDS in different parts of the province. They all described similar pain and similar stories, and all agreed that the worst part wasn't even dealing with the physical effects, but just feeling like they have nowhere to turn. Robert Sohn says his family has seen more than 200 doctors since their ordeal began, and he says time and time again, they just hit a dead end. Catherine Sohn says one of the worst times for her was at age 14 when her legs just suddenly stopped working one day when she was at school. She says that in itself was scary enough.
What was more terrifying was that every time I went to the hospital, they couldn't find anything. And I mean, 14 years old, you're not quite as impressionable as a younger child, but I still expected the doctors to know what was going on, and they didn't. And I spent 2 weeks at the Children's going through every department, every test they could think of, and they couldn't find anything wrong. And it just, everything hurt so much. I remember taking like handfuls of Motrin and Advil because I was trying to get some pain relief because the doctors wouldn't give me anything because they were quite sure I was faking it. They sent me to the pain clinic at the Children's. They tried to send me to talk to someone because they were sure that I was faking it. And the lady there said, she's not faking it. Fine, do something.
Catherine says that stint at the Montreal Children's Hospital was 3 years before she finally did get a diagnosis. But Susan, the other six people I spoke with who suffer from Ehlers-Danlos syndrome all have the same story, that they are sent from department to department, doctor to doctor, sometimes over the course of years, only to be told that they're making up the pain in their heads.
Why is that? Why is it so hard for people with Ehlers-Danlos to get a diagnosis?
Well, part of the reason is that there's little known about it, at least here in Canada. Keep in mind, it's one of 7,000 rare diseases, so there's less time spent on research than many other more common illnesses. Also, by definition, a syndrome means a group of symptoms which regularly occur together. So the syndrome itself can be overlooked if each individual symptom is considered separately. Geneticist Bruno Maranda works here at Sherbrooke's University Hospital. He has diagnosed some of his patients with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So I asked him that question.
Well, because it's kind of rare condition, most of the physicians are not, one, aware of that, or second, at ease to make this diagnosis. So they will try to refer to another person who has more experience with this kind of disorders. But generally speaking, pediatricians are quite aware of those disorders, and then I would say the rheumatologists or orthopedists. And then it's mainly this group of physicians that are aware of those disorders. But being aware of it is not that you are able to make the diagnosis. So that's another issue. So that's, I think, the hurdle is there.
Dr. Bruno Maranda says the diagnosis for EDS is based on a clinical examination, and only in some cases are there genetic tests which can be done. And he says even though statistics say 1 in 5,000 people suffer from EDS, he says it's really hard to give an accurate number. He believes the disease is grossly underdiagnosed.
What can people with EDS or who suspect they might have EDS do to try to get a diagnosis?
Some have been going great distances to find specialists and information outside the country, also at a large cost. In Quebec, part of the answer right now lies with a woman right here in Sherbrooke who's dedicating most of her time learning about EDS and who's trying to find some answers for people suffering with this disease. Because as difficult as it can be to get a diagnosis of EDS, that can be just the beginning of the problems. And Susan, I'm going to tell you about that tomorrow, which is fitting because tomorrow is International Rare Disease Day.
We'll be looking forward to it. Thank you, Allison.
My pleasure, Susan.
Allison Brunette, our Townships reporter, live in our Sherbrooke studio this morning. As you just heard, she will be back tomorrow with part two of this report on a rare disease some Quebecers are struggling with, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.